The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinking JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
3, 2, and 4.
971, edition 971 of Footy Prime this Tuesday. It's a small group today at the moment. JC is here, which is the most important thing. Gregory Forrest is here, also quite important. I'm Shams. Wonga is going to be joining us at some point when he gets his computer figured out. Jimmy is maybe in transit still. His flight was postponed, and then cancelled yesterday. And Dubs didn't get home till like 3 a.m. and had to dig herself into her driveway. There was so much snow, and then there was no power. So Dubsy is obviously sleeping, or so she should be at the moment. But we will have a special guest in the next minute or so, very soon, a special guest. I won't tell you whom just yet, but we'll talk about a bunch of things, including what happened yesterday. Sunday in the CPL final. We did a big breakdown yesterday, but we'll get into that a little bit more. And also Canada's squad getting set for Ecuador this Thursday, Craig. I'm excited about this. The last window before March. The last chance, right, between now and March, really for Jesse Marsh to get hold of his players. Ecuador and then Venezuela. So let's have a quick perusal of the squad, if I can find the squad. Because now all my little graphics, which I put up here, have fallen. Oh, there we go. There we go. All right, here we go. Here's your squad. Out of those names, who's jumping off the page to you that you need some questions answered? Pretty much a familiar-looking squad. Owen Goodman's in there. That's the one real change. And, of course, Alfie Jones.
I would say Alfie Jones for me. That would be the one. I want to see what he's made of. I hear a lot of really good things about him too, coming from out of Middlesbrough.
Do you foresee minutes, game action, starting minutes for Alfie Jones the next two games?
Well, considering we have some injuries in the center back position, I think that he would want to have a look at him to know whether or not he's is an option, which I think he is. But I think that that's what Jesse Marsh is looking at.
Well, I mean, no Luke de Vigerol in this squad, right? He's out. He's kind of hurtish, getting minutes though still, but he's been rested. Obviously, Moyes Bembido out. So yeah, there's a good chance you'll see some minutes there. I mentioned we're going to have a guest, and
James, do you mind if I introduce him?
Please, you go right ahead.
Oh my goodness, this has got to be. I mean, who's not excited about this, ladies and gentlemen? Dan Wong. Dan Wong is here.
Oh, what a surprise!
Wow, with a weird phallic symbol in front of him with a mute on. Very interesting. Yeah.
I just won the CPL championship.
Oh, I'm the best. We also have somebody else, the real star of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the mixologist, the mixational, the sexually chocolate drink of whatever, Nate Ingham.
Hey, champ.
I don't know.
How you doing, pal? How are you
feeling? Hey, congratulations.
Thanks, Craiger. And thanks, JC. I know I'm not the best writer, but thanks for doing that intro I wrote up for you.
You did. It was great. The crayon was perfect. Hmm. Very legible. All good.
Yeah. He was supposed to really emphasize the sexy part.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he does that himself. So.
Oh, that's right.
So, explain to us how the last 36 hours have gone for you. It's pretty early for someone that's probably still celebrating. Were you still going at it pretty hard last night?
Yeah, tried to keep it going. It would be a shame to not. But, you know, the game was so strange itself, like the whole day and the lead up and everything, that you almost felt like you're a little bit buzzed for the game because everyone was kind of saying the same thing. It didn't feel real. It was like a fever dream. So it feels like, I don't know, full 48 hours right now, just, kind of a foggy state.
Was there a concern the game wouldn't even go ahead?
No, I did not feel like that was talked.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, we were looking at it all week, and you know the only real conversation is like, yeah, we're bringing in the orange balls probably, It's like, all right, good. There was a little bit of talk about maybe moving the game forward, but, you know, that screws up the TSN thing. And then one thing that a lot of people don't know is huge renovations going down at TD Place, and they start the day after the final. So there's talk about postponing the game. And from my understanding, the OSEG Corporation was like, if you do that, you know, you're going to need a neutral venue. So it's not even about like the TV or anything. It was also the actual TD Place.
Oh, really?
So that played a role. I don't know how big a role, but that's definitely part of it.
Definitely part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they were going to put a roof on it and you could have come back a couple of days later and you could actually play some real football as opposed to whatever that was.
I mean, yeah, whatever that was. It was closer to beach soccer than it was a football.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And like I will say, and, you know, because I don't think I've heard this from Calgary or anything, it is a bit of a shame because I think that would have been a top class final. And instead, you know, a team's winning, losing in something that didn't resemble anything that we did all season long. Right. So I feel for Calgary. I wish they got to put their best foot forward and play a regular match. So I'm sure there's a bit of, there's a little bit in them that feels not cheated, but feels like it's a bit unfair. So, you know, I'm not ignorant to that fact. When I got out there for warm up, I wasn't really sure. And I just started, like, I got on the field. There's still a fair few people in the stadium already. And, I just started laughing. Like, it was funny, man. Like, it felt like, my brother and I would play in the backyard growing up a ton. And it brings you right back. And my goalkeeper coach and I, just as we start going through the paces, we're just like smiling. And it was a lot of fun. Diving just felt like you're landing on a cloud. It was cool.
What was the biggest challenges for you getting used to it? Like, was it slippery, the grip, the bounce?
Yeah, the bounce actually wasn't terrible at the beginning, like in warm-up, because it's just slick. It's like being on wet grass. But for anyone, you know, Canadian drivers, you know, you drive in the rain, you hit the brakes, your brakes still work. Once it gets snowy and icy, you hit the brakes and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's 5 feet of skid. Playing soccer with the ball is the exact same thing. It's like playing in the rain's a little slippery. Playing in the snow, the thing, like there's a couple of times the ball would stop and would just spin in place. Like there's zero friction on the ball. So like, Craig, you know, a couple of times you like bring down a ball in front of you and then you just like almost use it to get up, right? Like you put your pressure on the ball and it'll just skip out from underneath you. That thing you had to keep your eyes on because it was like it was like a little I don't even know. it was slick. That's what we'll say.
At what point did you think, man, I've got to get a shovel here because it'll be an iconic image that will go down in CPL lore and will get, you know, shown around the world? Because that's what happened when we saw you with that shovel.
No, it's 10 years I've been trying to make it as a goalkeeper and no one gave a fuck about me. So I was like, you know, it's an angle I'm trying to get seen. I'm not thinking about it, but when you're in a game, when you're a goalie, you obviously can't look backwards, right? The play happens too quick. So if you don't have reference points, you're a fish out of water. Like you'll literally be watching the play and you'll end up outside your post. So they're clearing the lines, but that's not the most helpful because the snow is falling so fast. So I wanted to make a big spot at the big mark at the penalty spot because that gives you like a sense when like they're in shooting range, you can kind of use that to know where you are. And then I was doing the corners of the 18 yard box and like the D, like, so I wanted to make like an extra big spot at each corner. So even when the snow fell, it wasn't like it was all looked the exact same on the line. It was like, okay, that's the corner of my box. That's my penalty spot. You see me mark out like the 6 yard box in my post. I would just do that with my feet. So it was all just so I knew where I was in the net because when the snow was falling, you would just catch yourself way drifting off one side or another. And then as you're backpedaling, you had no idea where you were. So it was just kind of like to save myself from looking like an idiot and standing beside my net while they pass it down the middle. I had no idea it would get the traction that it did.
Yeah, I think people don't realize that maybe from the camera angle looking down, you can see where they've shaved out the lines. But when you're on the pitch down at field level, it's just everything's just a whitewash.
Fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, we understand it was a crazy event and, you know, it wasn't the greatest football considering the conditions, but the bottom line is you won the championship with two incredible goals. I mean, the first one in particular is a worldie. You know, that's one of the greatest goals we've ever seen, especially given the circumstances. I don't care what league you're playing in. To do a bicycle or, I love it, icicle kick in those conditions is something that you just can't ever expect. And even the winner, which probably wouldn't have been scored had it not cleared the field, what was the pace and the touch. So you can like, yeah, it wasn't great football, obviously, but you won it on two genuinely top-class finishes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the elephant in the room is, you know, should we have played the game, right? And if we're going to look at it objectively, the league took a gamble and said we're going to do it. And whatever happens, happens, knowing that it easily could have been a 0-0 penalty shootout and everyone would have been up in arms and saying what a bad decision they made. Against all odds, it was the best decision they've ever made because it ends up being this thing. And I mean, maybe at the player's expense, sure, but it ends up being this thing that goes, you know, worldwide, that's news in England in a slow sports time as well, where, you know, MLB playoffs stop, NBA and NHL just started, but, you know, not a ton to talk about, international break, you know, it just like, it just took center stage across the world. Thank God for David Rodriguez and, you know, the skill that that little guy has, because, you know, the only other goal that I can think of that was that impressive in a final was the Zidane side volley in Champions League final. Great just one, yeah. Something you would never expect in that moment. It's something that even if it happened in training, you'd be like, this is unbelievable. And then to do it in the biggest stage, you know, when the lights are the brightest was crazy. And then the second goal, yeah, I mean, even just clearing – I was having to go at, you know, whoever would listen to me in the tunnel after extra time or after a regular time, because they're saying we're going to take an hour break. And I was like, you just brought 13,000 fans here. You're going to make them wait a fucking hour. Like, we just played a mockery of a soccer game. Let's just go out there. Like, let's just go back out there.
Or
let's
that's what me in charge were saying. We're going, hold on a minute. This place, it's actually going viral as the game's going on, right?
Yeah.
It's all over the place, all over the world, viral. And I was like, well, at this point, let's get them out there. It's going to be done in a 45 minutes. Like, yep. We just played and what are we doing here?
We made our decision. You know, we did it. Let's just see it out. No one listened. And this is what we're doing. At least we said our piece and it did work out. And I mean, I was a little afraid that we were going to lose, you know, all the fans. And you have this great moment, great night and everything else. And it's like, oh, well, like all the people that committed to being here for 90 minutes, you're now going to say, wait an hour. Like it just didn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so much credit to the fans for sticking out, because I think there was still around 10,000 when the final whistle went, memories for, you know, a lot of people surrounding the event.
There was a bunch of fans went across. I guess there was an arena, a hockey arena pretty close by. They're in there warming up.
Yeah. So the way our stadium works is under that north side stand is where the PWHL team plays, the Ottawa 67s play, and then the basketball team as well. So they have, and then they rent out ice time like any good Canadian arena. So, yeah, I guess there's some men's league going on. They got a few hundred fans in there warming up and cheering them on, which is just –
What was the team doing during that hour break? Because obviously you're coming out of these conditions that are crazy. You're cold. You can stiffen up pretty quickly, which would probably happen. What did you do? And was there space underneath to be able to keep warm and keep yourselves kind of focused on what's going to happen in about an hour?
Yeah. So the first, I think that's where we won the game, honestly, in the locker room, where we got in there right away when I found out it was an hour, because the ref actually told Manu and I on the field in like the 88th minute, there was a stoppage. He goes, hey, I'm hearing that we're going to extra time, but it's going to be an hour to clear the field. And I was like, all right. So then when we got in, we kind of went through that. We told everyone, it's like, okay, if you need anything dried, give it to our kit man. He'll throw stuff in the dryer, do whatever. And then it was just like everyone shut off for a minute, because if you're trying to mentally prepare yourself for kickoff and it's like, oh, it's going to be 30 minutes. Oh, it's going to be 45. Oh, it's going to be hours. It's exhausting. So it's like, keep things light. In the reality, all you need is 10, 15 minutes to kind of like lock back in. And if you're trying to be the rah-rah guy for an hour, people are either going to get annoyed with you or, you know, you just can't keep up, right? So, I was very fortunate. I played my university soccer in Florida, like Fort Myers, Florida, and the amount of lightning delays we would get from August through October was crazy. So it was just, you feel like that's something that stays with you forever. It's like how to get back out there, how to rewarm up, how to do all those things. So we kept things light. Thank God for guys like Didich, for Aparicio, because we were just kind of cracking jokes and like having a good time. The whole thing just felt kind of fake. And then the last 10, 15 minutes, it's like, okay, then it's like relock in. And the big message was, you know, we have 20 minutes from that moment. We had a 5-minute warm-up or a 6-minute warm-up. 20 minutes from the moment where we don't have our clothes on to playing extra time of a final. So it's like, just take that in for a second, like make sure that our focus is 100%, because I know it doesn't feel like we're going to go back out there, and it feels like recess. It feels like it means nothing, but this is the biggest game of our life right now. So just like, make sure your mind's right. And then I referenced the Halifax York game. I go like right after that rain delay, free kick goal, because one team wasn't tuned in and one team was. So it's just make sure that's not us. First clearance, it goes. First pass is clean. Whatever your first action is, make it good. And then once we get through that first few minutes, then everything should be fine. And then, you know, the coach and us as well, just kind of building confidence of the group. You know, this suits us. We're the better team. It'll be good. You know, like anything that they needed to hear to give them confidence.
I think it was Dan Klump and Fraser Ed both were going no shirt sleeves and no gloves, which was, you know, stupid or nails? Like what is it? I don't know.
Listen, if you don't feel cold, great. You know, do whatever you want. Go sleeveless if you want. But if you do that and you're cold, then it's stupid. You know, I did that, I'd be freezing, so that's stupid. And I wouldn't play very well. I layered up. I don't care what I look like. I in the locker room before the game, I put on the neck warmer and kind of did it like just to cover my ears, like a headband.
The snood?
Yeah, I was like, boys, I don't know about this look, but we're doing it. I don't know if I'm going to love the pictures of the game, but I'm going to keep my ears warm. So, yeah, it's all about how you're comfortable out there.
Listen, the exposure is great, you know, for football, for the league. We understand that. But is a part of you thinking, man, we had a really good season, you know, which is almost being kind of swept under the rug here a little bit, considering what happened on Sunday. You have to remember the process to get to that craziness, right? Which was extremely impressive for your team.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you can look at it however you want, right? And you can look at it with a negative lens or you can look at it with a positive lens. You know, if you're going to be pessimistic about it, is I think we're the best ball playing team this league's ever seen. I think we had so much talent on the field, and it would have been nice in front of a big fan base, in front of, you know, world football, to put on a really good show. Because I think people would be genuinely impressed with the level. But that wasn't the case. You can't, like, you know, what are you going to do about it? And our message all year is just be a no-excuse team. Like, no matter what the circumstances, it doesn't matter that we're young. It doesn't matter that we're rebuilding. It didn't matter that we had new coaching staff. Like, we can't have excuses. And it was actually one of our away games in Calgary where this kind of stemmed from, because we had an issue with our flight and only, like, 8 or 9 guys got out. And then the remainder had to come like late that night. We played the following day. So our training in Calgary was less than about half the team. And our coaches were like, oh, you know, like maybe we just take it off. We'll do some prehab around the hotel. And Manu and I were like, no, no chance. Let's get to the field. Let's play some 5v2s. Let's just go have some fun. And then the next day, that night, the guys show up. We play. We win 3-0 the next day. And again, before the game, it's like no excuses. Like, you're about to do the thing you're best at in this world. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if we didn't train for a week. You wouldn't forget how to play football. So, like, the second you buy into an excuse of like, oh, this might be a reason why we lose, you've already lost. So we kept that mentality the whole way. Every time we lost, it was because we weren't good enough. It was never about like extenuating circumstances. And we just had that winner's mentality. And then when the snow came, it's like, what are you going to do? You know, you can say, oh, you know, we're a ball playing team and we can't do this. It's like, well, we're playing the game anyway. Ball's in behind, let them make mistakes. And, you know, Davi, do a bicycle kick and we're going to win.
That's all part of the plan, right?
Yeah. But no, it's just the no excuses mentality is what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, listen, you've always been so honest about this team. You've been very critical in the past. Did you need this? Did you need this championship given what, you know, what's transpired in previous seasons?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it right now. I couldn't imagine a world where I didn't win this, you know, and in leading up to this game was by far the most pressure I've ever felt. You know, it's one thing to be in a final. It's another thing to be a captain of a team going into a final. You know, I had lunch with the president a couple of days prior, and you know, he was talking about how he just did an interview where it was his chance to be a champion in three different sports because he won it in the, like with the 67s, and he won it with the Red Blacks, and then this is a chance to do it with us. And I was like, okay, you know, no pressure there. And then it's the most, like the biggest outpour I've ever got prior to a game, you know, like obviously I've been ingrained in the city, but you know, I had the guys on the Sens message me. I had, you know, the Red Blacks guys. I had all my friends. I had the restaurant people. I had like a huge support section from different restaurant people. I had family in town. You know, it's just like everyone was so bought into this and, you know, convinced that things were going to go well, where it was just, and Craiger, you know this better than anyone, you know, as hard, like if something goes wrong or if you play poorly or whatever, it's hard on you, but it's harder on the people close to you. Because they feel your pain, you know, as much as anyone. And then you kind of have to put on this front or this act where it's like, no, it's okay. You have to kind of just be, let everyone else know around you that they're all right. And inside it's, you know, it's killing you.
It's a storm.
So I couldn't imagine losing this final because, you know, my first reaction was just kind of be, let everyone know it's okay. But I think it would have killed me.
Were you expecting that it might potentially go to penalties?
Yeah.
As they often do, you go to extra time, half hour just drifts by, and here we are at a penalty shootout.
That's exactly what I thought. I was thinking about it at the end of regular time and one time in extra time. And as I was thinking it, I was just like, so every time I have bad thoughts in my head on the field, I'll counter them by talking out loud, right? So it's like, if I'm already thinking I'm going to get a shutout, or if I'm always thinking about the next thing, it's like, hey, like you got to get there. So I'll say the opposite out loud to just drown out that voice. So twice myself, like, don't fucking worry about penalties, you know, like
out loud.
You're thinking about something that doesn't exist when you should be focused in a game where you need all your focus. So yeah, I definitely drifted in, but I try to cut it out as quick as possible because, you know, it's wasted energy.
I wish there was a camera on you when you're saying out loud.
Oh, I'd look like a penalty.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. That mumbles.
Sorry, Nate. I know I missed a lot, but I was listening to Craiger laugh, and I had some FOMO. Just so you know, I'm like trying to get all the tech working. How'd you keep warm? How'd you keep your ball sack, your feet, your fingers? Like, what were you like? How did you keep it all warm?
You recede into the body, right into the cavity.
Like were you turtling? Like your digits got smaller. Everything happened.
We always joke. It just goes into sport mode. It just knows it won't be needed for the foreseeable future.
It's true. You don't even need a pee.
Yeah. I'll see you later, buddy. I got to do.
That's it. Where are you?
I did. I went out actually the night before, grabbed some heat gear, some extra heat gear. And then I had a plan with my kit manager because I didn't know like how wet it would be. So I was like, okay, I'm going to warm up in this. I'll chuck it to you. You can throw it in the dryer. I've got like the stuff I'm going to wear for the game. I wore different like boots and warm up as well and then changed that. So it was just like as dry as possible going into it. And the thing is, and I mean, any Canadian knows this, it's like once you catch that chill, you're in trouble. So it's just like try and stay warm. But it was warm out there, you know, like it really did feel warm out there. At no point did I feel cold. Like I was moving. I don't know if it was the energy in the building, you know, snow's a little bit insulating as well. You know, I think it was a lot warmer than it would have been if it was just a rainy sleet day. So I was thankful for that. But yeah, I was fine, you know, single socks. I didn't change at any point. It was the same Under Armour the whole time. And but the whole 2 weeks leading up to it, because we knew the weather was going to be a bit gnarly, and we played a game in Winnipeg and it was like 0 degrees and just pissing rain. And it was miserable. We didn't play a great game that day. So that whole 2 weeks leading up to the final, every time there was a rainy day, I would just wear like just one layer and just try and get used to the cold and train in cold and try and, you know, make big saves in the cold. And then knowing that in the final, I was going to wear some warm gear, and maybe that helped. Maybe it was a mental thing. I don't know, but it's been on our mind for a while.
We were talking yesterday, your manager has rubbed some people the wrong way, which we think is great for this league. We, you know, you need personalities. And I think the CPL's always had some good personalities. especially in its coaching ranks. But Mehi has come out and said a lot of things. He's very, very confident of his boys. How important was that mindset for you guys throughout the season, really, to say, you know, fuck it all. You know, we're Ottawa. We're going to win this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an unbelievable coach, man. Honestly, like he's way too good for this league. We're really lucky to have him. He took a few of us, the leadership group, out for dinner before he got here. We had like one or two sessions or something. And his first message I'll never forget is like, he goes, I honestly think you guys are the best team in the country. He goes, but I need your help to convince everyone of that. He goes, because I don't think you guys believe it. And if you guys don't believe it, no one believes it. He goes, so my goal is to convince you guys that we're the best. And your job is to just trust me and let everyone buy into it. And that was the mindset from day two or three. And I think, you know, with English as a second language and just the way it was initially said, I think people took it and ran with it when, you know, him and I joke about it all the time. It's like, they ask you a question. And then I do an interview after him. It's like, well, your coach thinks you're the best team in the league. It's like, all right, good. You know, it would be a pretty good problem if he didn't, right? You'd probably fire him. And players would probably think he's a bit of a dick. So you just, you know, what else do you expect him to say? Is, you know, Calgary, I bet Tommy thinks he's got the best team. And I bet if you ask him who the best goalie is, he's going to say Marco. And when you talk to Bobby, he's going to say they're the best team and they've got the best goalie. And it's like, of course, you know, we're talking to sports media. This is what you say. And then I think he just got frustrated. It's like, you know what? I do think this. And if we're going to make this a narrative, let's make it a narrative. And within the locker room, and I'll never forget this as this evolution happened, is within the locker room, you're like, all right, man, like, let's not stir the pot, buddy. You know, let's not give him extra fuel. But after going through it and winning it all, you know, like that just shows anyone that was thinking that in the locker room was not bought it. You know, not fully convinced that we were the best. And that's a loser's mentality. So he's just leading by example and just showing, you know, that's how you have to think of yourself. You do have to think you're the best. If you don't think you're the best, you've lost before it started, truly. Now, it's not to say that every time the better team wins, but in a salary cap league, you should be thinking that way. You know, it's not like you're dealing with, you know, some Huddersfield Town going up against Man City. This isn't what we're dealing with. We're dealing with everyone's got the same amount of dollars to spend. So if you think you've got, you know, the best players or, you know, the best coaches or whatever, then you better believe you're the best team. And then that'll give you the chance. So, yeah, I think everyone from around the league, but in our locker room and everything else could, you know, can learn a lot on just the mentality of being a winner from Diego.
Where did you pull out Huddersfield? I like that. I like that reference. I was like,
it might have been the new the Goodman call up.
Yeah, I was going to say, Owen Goodman. Yeah,
yeah. It needed something. Needed a little town.
Yeah, no, that's it's a good call, Huddersfield for sure. So, what's the when does the official team duties end for you for the this off season? I mean, it's more celebrations, more events. What's going on this week?
Yeah, we're at the stadium right now. We're doing our exit medicals and a little bit of testing, all that stuff, which kind of frees up everyone to get out. I think we'll probably have our exit interviews with the GMs and that tomorrow as well. And then media availability tomorrow. And we're doing our team night out tonight. So dinner and a proper night to, I mean, continue the celebrations.
You look a bit weary. I won't lie to you. You look a bit weary this morning.
That will be all right. I think that's for like the general group. That'll be kind of it. For myself and a couple of the older boys, we're kind of jammed up the whole week with different things. We were at City Hall yesterday. I think we have Parliament Thursday. I have something Friday. I think we're back with the Sens doing something on Saturday. Like it's just kind of go. So those are the responsibilities of kind of the older guys and the captain, and but also the joys of it, you know. Mm-hmm. If people keep inviting me to things for the next 2 weeks, I would
Yeah. Nate, I don't know if we talked about it. If we did, I apologize. Champions Cup.
Yeah. No, we haven't touched on it.
How excited is that? Like, how excited are you going to be for that? That's amazing experience.
Yeah, it's epic, right? It's, you know, even when we won the league in 2022, they were reformatting the tournament. So what that automatic berth, I guess, was kind of taken away. It didn't exist, but felt like it was taken away. So, yeah, it's great. It's great, man. You know, I'm just thinking about how we can compete. You know, you want to, now we're talking about David versus Goliath. You know, like, we're not the best team in that tournament. obviously, and we get it a couple weeks into our preseason is our first game, so a lot of obstacles. But you know, I've been given a lot of confidence by Calgary this year, and even Forge, even though their result was a little more lopsided, it's, they're playing these games, they're doing a decent job. And if you can get one of these you know, Central American or Mexican teams in the snow, you can probably get a result at home, and then it's just, you know, have the game of your life away and see what happens. So yeah, it'll be cool. I'm not a big fanboy. Like, I've never been, if I see someone on the street, I'm never stopping for a picture. I don't care for autographs or anything like that. But these are kind of the stories and the things when you're growing up, you didn't think were possible, and you'd never share a pitch with some of these guys. And I've had some of those moments in the past, and we'll obviously, get to do that again. So, you know, it'd be cool. It's a lot cooler if you beat them though.
Yeah. You are signed through next year.
No, I'm out of contract now.
Oh, you are, yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I imagine that won't be too difficult, though, I wouldn't imagine.
Good timing.
and if things don't work out, Nate, Footy Prime just signed a deal with SiriusXM.
Here we go.
And we need an Ottawa FB contributor. So
I would absolutely love that. I might put a pin in that for a little bit, but yes, I would, you know, I can't think of a better retirement.
We can't compete with CPL agents, which says everything. But,
that says a lot.
It does. Listen, Nate, thanks so much for your time. And listen, congratulations. Really was a great season. And, you know, I don't think anyone's going to forget about that Sunday event anytime soon. It's going down in Canadian soccer lore now, I think. What an occasion. Craziness, but congratulations to you and your mates. And we'll have you back on the show real soon.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for covering us all year. And man, it's fun to be a part of it. And it's cool to see the game growing in this country kind of leading up to the World Cup. So you guys are a big part of that. And anytime you want me, I'm here for you.
Good, man. Thanks, pal. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Will do.
Thanks, Nate.
That's Nate Ingham, goalkeeper captain, the champs, Atletico Ottawa. You know what concerns me about Nate is... You know, Craig, it concerns me about Nate is that when he does eventually retire, he'll walk into a media job, which means there's one less for the likes of me and you.
Yeah, well, they need some younger faces.
That's for damn sure.
Charms, all we're going to do is Footy Prime 2.0. We'll keep doing the show, and then there'll be a younger layer who have kind of the same attitude as we do. And actually, every time Nate's on, I literally was doing tech, hearing Craig giggle and laugh, and I'm like, fuck, I'm missing all the Nate jokes. And I was pretty upset by that now my mic is still not working properly.
Who can we get around for the 2.0? Well, Nate, obviously, he's in there. Upcoming, Tommy Hewitt, my boy. We'll get Tom in there.
That young guy, John Molinaro. J-Mo,
yes. No, he's contemporary for sure. J-Mo's contemporary. Who do you want to see replace us? Let us know, Footy Prime. okay, well, listen, I know we talked in Canada before very briefly, but we'll do more of that. We actually are interviewing Alfie Jones and that should drop tomorrow morning, I believe. So Canada's new face. As Craig mentioned before, he's excited to see how he fares at this camp in these games. So we'll get the inside track on exactly who is Alfie Jones, and that'll be dropping on Wednesday here on Footy Prime. Apart from that, anything else you guys want to touch on?
No, I think that was it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that interview, and great to talk to Nate. He's always top man.
Yeah, gave us some great insight too about how the game not being played was never really a possibility because of the stadium issues. That's really interesting. Anyway, Nate, thanks as always, mate. And we are back tomorrow. Broadcast is also being taped later today, although, as mentioned, Dubs' schedule has been thrown awry. So she'll get to it at some point, I'm sure.
But Claire Rusted and Aaron McLeod. As well as Signia and Shireen.
Yep.
And right. Dubs, of course.
Party. Full house. Full house. All right, everyone, like, subscribe, leave us comments, and we'll chat to you soon. Bye-bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter. Nice.
Sorry, guys. That was great. My whole computer just like this microphone doesn't work.
Oh, mine didn't work either. It's useless.